afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today is a very special guest. We've been working on getting her here for quite a long time. She's, boy, let me give you, I'm going to give you some stats about this person before we go on. Star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2012. A Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee in 2013. She has been a part of 16 studio albums with her original band Heart. Seven of those went top 10. Over 20 million albums sold in the U.S., 20 top 40 singles, two number ones with Nancy Wilson singing lead on the first ever Heart number one single.
That's right.
She's contributed music to films such as Say Anything, Jerry Maguire, Almost Famous, Vanilla Sky, Elizabethtown, New York Times bestselling author for Kicking and Dreaming, Story of Heart, Soul, and Rock and Roll. And her current project is the band Roadcase Royale. Yeah. Please welcome to the show, Nancy Wilson. How are you doing today, Nancy?
Hey, Pat. I feel really important right now.
That was a lot of stuff.
Thank you for the intro. Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
Really good.
If you didn't have anything like that, then I wouldn't have you here. That's not true. But
I got some accolades.
That's great. When you hear someone say it like I just did, how does that make you feel?
Well, really important. not exactly young. I mean, it takes a long time to get all that stuff done.
But you started when you were young.
Yeah. So yeah, I was very young when I started.
Yeah.
I joined the band. I started joining Heart at like 19, between college stuff. And I was like sitting in with Heart in Vancouver, BC for a while. And I finally joined. I finally joined my sister's band.
Yeah.
And they were like the number one cabaret act in Vancouver, BC at the time. And so, you know, it's really a funny story because I knew I was going to be Anne's shadow kind of forever, being the younger sister.
Right.
And so I decided to take, you know, my own time with going to a university or two before I actually joined the band. Then when I actually did decide I was ready to join the band, it was kind of in and out for a while. Mm-hmm. And the guys in the band were like, "You kidding? We don't need your sister in this band," you know. So I was not.
You were not welcome at
not
first.
Not very welcome in the band, finally. Well, so it was an interesting dynamic.
Well, we're going to get back to Heart, but before that, we need to talk about this new project you have. And this has been a couple of years going now. It's mm-hmm. not brand new. It's Roadcase Royale. Mm-hmm. It's Nancy Wilson on guitar and lead vocals.
Yes.
We got Liv Warfield on lead vocals. Amazing
singer,
powerhouse.
She is just a force of nature.
Yeah, I've seen you guys live, and I I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, you saw us.
Yeah, I saw you at the Rose in Pasadena.
The Rose. Oh my God, that was our very first first gig.
I think I saw the. I think you guys were there twice. I think I saw the second time. Yeah, the second
time.
Right. Yeah. Then we have Ryan Waters on lead guitar, and then we have three members from the. I guess the most recent version of Heart.
Right.
Chris Joyner on keyboards, Dan right. Rothschild on bass, and Ben Smith on drums.
Right.
So let me ask you, how did Roadcase Royale come to be? How did you get involved and meet Liv Warfield?
Well, we were, as Heart, I was playing at the Hollywood Bowl for a couple nights with, and I had seen Liv Warfield on TV.
In what capacity? What was she doing?
She was on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Oh, right.
And she was with her then band called Blackbird.
Okay.
And she did this song, Why Do You Lie, that was just stunning, powerful, and her presence, her energy, her presence. And somebody said, "You check this girl out," you know. So we went on YouTube and found it and saw her and was like, "This is the opener we need for the Hollywood Bowl." And she and her guitar player, Ryan Waters, who both had been working for Prince before that,
right,
were, you know, in the Blackbird band, and we said, "Come and play." And they, "Are you kidding? We're there." And so then after the show, the second show, Liv made a big point out of coming and meeting me, or one of either sister. She didn't care. She just wanted to make contact. And when she and I was open to that, you know. So we were like, let's talk about music. Let's think about what we could do aside from, you know, what I'm normally doing, what you normally do.
It sounds like she had a plan.
Well, you know,
you opened the door for her, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna make this work.
She is really an amazing human. She's consummate as a musician and about music, and plus, you know, her whole vibe is very angelic and inspired. You know, almost to the point of godly. You know, she's got godliness about her. So I could really relate to that, you know, because I kind of think that way myself. And so I just really connected with her, and we got inspired about music. And at that time, you know, my sister Anne, she was off on another trajectory altogether. So we were kind of like, well, let's just explore this relationship we could maybe have.
Right.
And so the thing was, we always tell the story, but let's just be the people that actually don't just say we're going to do something,
but we actually do it. Yeah.
And just like make a plan to do something and actually do that. So
that's the key. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You can talk about
it's
a million
lip
things.
Service.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So then, we brought those guys to New York when we were playing in New York. Not too long after that, just to have a powwow about what could we talk about, you know, talk about what kind of music would we make. And so it was really intentional and worthwhile.
Because,
you know, I needed to find something right after the Heart tour was over. It turned out it saved my life.
You don't want to take a break, Nancy, when the Heart tour's over? You just want to keep moving?
No. I mean, the way the last Heart tour ended was just a little bit difficult. So I was ready to just latch on to something that was meaningful.
Plunge in, keep creating.
Plunge in to something creative.
Okay. It saved
my life.
So, that's big words.
We made the album really fast. Mm-hmm. We got together like teenagers at a high school dance, you know, like the first time we brought everybody to LA to rehearsal space, mm-hmm. just to start like figuring out, okay, do we like each other? Do we sound good together? Who are we if we're doing this at all? You know, so it was like a really kind of a nervous get together.
Because you and Liv need to get along, obviously, but all everyone in the band needs to gel and get
together.
My three
guys from Heart, you know, I already had such a language with them,
right.
Like second language, but with Liv and Ryan coming in, you know, as newcomers, we were all kind of like, okay, do we tiptoe around each other, and who's got the big ego, and who's, you know, who's going to blow it?
Right, right.
You know, because
and no one
that's
did.
How rock works.
And no one had the big ego.
Nobody did, which was like astounding. Let's be honest.
Let's hear some of this. I have three songs queued up. I'm going to let you pick which one you want to hear first. Do you want to hear Get Loud, Not Giving Up, or The Dragon?
Ooh. Well, let's do Get Loud because it's the first song in the album.
All right.
It's the first song we actually wrote.
Here we go.
Girls like us in magazines. No fantasy. No peaches and cream. Dressed all in black. Invisible, subliminal, self-critical, unheard, unseen. No letters of love, chocolates or roses. Cruel words fall hard and mean. In city streets, crowded malls, high school halls and bathroom stalls.
That's a great song.
Oh, thank you.
Now, this is a great album too. Now, I don't do lip service either. Like, mm-hmm. like if I wasn't down with this album, I wouldn't have reached out to try to get you on the show.
Thanks.
You know what I mean?
That's really great.
But so that's why I want people who are listening worldwide to go get this thing. Because this is really a great album. Yeah, you guys did.
Proud of it.
It's killer.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
It's good. We're actually really good.
You
somebody
are.
Somebody told me yesterday, your band does not suck.
Well,
I was like, well, that's an understatement.
Right. How old was that person that said that? That's got to be
one
a teenager.
One of my old friends.
Oh, one of your
no,
old friends.
One of my oldest friends.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I've worked with him for a long time.
Well, that's good then. Yeah. You yeah. trust his opinion.
No slouches.
No.
You know, it's like, yep, I got that.
You guys recorded a few, a couple of Heart classics.
Yes.
You guys redid
yes.
those.
We redid a couple Heart songs, including These Dreams, which has had so many, morphed so many times into so many different versions. Such a great song.
Yes.
For one thing. And of course, our first number one, like you said. But it's finally, I thought this version on First Things First was the best, my favorite version.
It's your favorite version.
Of all the versions of These Dreams, yeah.
When I would come see Heart in recent years and you guys would cover the songs from the big 80s albums with the big production and you guys would...
Big hair, big
yes,
production.
But you guys would be stripping them down now a little bit and they just felt so good. Like I yeah. love them then, but they take on like a whole new meaning and a whole new thing
it's
when you
true.
Guys would do them now.
You know, it's interesting about cool songs. I mean, I didn't write These Dreams, you
right.
know, Bernie Taupin wrote those lyrics.
He's kind of good. He's okay.
He's written some really cool
he
words.
He seems to know
past.
What he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, grew up on his stuff, but, you know, songs like Alone, you could hear those songs like, in vaudeville or mm-hmm. theater in the 20s or almost any era, and those songs would translate. And in the big 80s, the big 80s version of
yes.
that song is really beautiful, but it also sounds like big 80s.
Yeah.
Like just the production and all that kind of stuff about it. So it's a mark of a great song when you can, you know, translate it to
absolutely.
Whatever era it's in.
I took us sideways. I took us down to the 80s for a second, but I want to get back to play another song off Road Case Royale. Let's hear a little bit of Not Giving Up.
An insane situation.
Back to the I should have brought a sticker for you.
Just when you thought it was over.
For your phone.
Come running, running, running. To break our world apart. Now's the time to fight your battle and shackle and hide. We watch a building of the wall. We're waiting just to see it fall. I'm saying we're not giving up, giving up. No. Live in peace and live for love.
Well, we're two for two so far.
Yeah.
With these songs that we're playing. That's another killer song. You guys rock too. And there's a bluesiness to it and
yeah, we kind of a rock and soul sound mm-hmm. as it turns out. You know, Liv when I first got to know Liv, we were, you know, obviously excited about music together and she was like, "Well, you know, your band is so rockin' and you know, I always feel kind of relegated to the R&B because
yeah.
she's a black woman, you
yeah.
know, a beautiful black woman with that voice. And, but, you know, she goes, I want to rock more. You know? And it's like, cool, because I love R&B too. So, and her and Ryan do everything together. He's kind of her musical director.
Gotcha.
And so she, as a matter of fact, when she got the gig with Prince, I got to tell the story real
sure.
quick.
Yes.
She was like the number one karaoke singer in Portland, Oregon, right?
Okay.
And Ryan had heard about Liv, you know, like it was all over town. And so he went and saw her sing. And some friends, he was like blown away, you know, by her talent. And some of the friends, like they started playing together. And then some of the friends around there in the college, I think they were going to Portland State University, where I went one time. had got a video of her and sent it. Somebody knew Prince, a friend of Prince, sent the video to Prince.
Wow.
And that's when he decided he wanted to meet up with her and ask her to sing for him. So then she became a singer for Prince and kind of dropped out of, you know, college for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to drop out, yeah. I guess you drop out for Prince.
You would drop out for Prince. Yeah. And she said, but I need my guitar player with me. And so he goes, well, bring him in.
Wow, that's
nice. He can audition. So Ryan Waters then auditioned for Prince and got the job. So they both worked for Prince.
Wow, that is great. That's a great story.
It's a good story.
I like how Prince said he has to audition. You can't just bring him in. I want to hear him first.
Yes.
But that's great. That's terrific.
Yeah, somebody sent a video, you know.
I do have this in my notes somewhere. You are unique, Nancy, because you play guitar in a rock and roll band, and you're a woman. And I don't like to say that. You know what I mean? I don't like to say it like that. But because there's other women that play, you know, Chrissy Hynde and Joan Jett and, you know, the Go-Go's and the Bangles and Melissa Etheridge. But you really play rock and roll guitar. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
You really rock. There's no one like you that's a female on stage. I know that sounds like I'm discounting,
cool.
But you know what I mean.
I get exactly what I know. Yeah, exactly you know what I'm saying. About.
So you've always been like unique. When I would see you guys in the '80s and stuff, you were rocking on stage and not like no one else I've ever seen.
A lot of Heart fans, you know, from the beginning, mm-hmm. would say, "Well, you know, how is it that you're able to, like, be so kind of aggressive on stage and still maintain your femininity?" I'm like, well, maybe I'm kind of androgynous the way I think of things, you know, because there shouldn't be such a division.
Right.
And I channel on stage and as a player and as a writer, too, I channel mainly men for my inspiration. Mm-hmm. Like Jimmy Page, or like, I mean, you know, there's Joni Mitchell part of me, there's the Jimmy Page, there's the, you know, the Paul Simon part. All of it's in there, and I just don't choose. I guess being a military brat might have had something to do.
That could do it.
As well, because I'm undaunted, you know, and my sister both.
And you play a very aggressive acoustic guitar also.
Yeah.
Very aggressive.
Yes, almost to a fault, yes. I do, and it's not a folk instrument for me. It's a rock instrument.
And that's how you play it.
Like a percussion instrument, sort of.
Like James Taylor plays it like a folk instrument, and he's fantastic.
He's amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. God. Still, to this day, he's amazing. But yeah, when you pick it up, it becomes a whole new instrument.
Well, I learned a lot from from Elton John as a guitar player, even though he's piano. Mm-hmm. Because there were so many rooms with lots of people singing and playing songs that just hootenanny rooms, you know, like jamboree rooms.
And where were these rooms? Where do I find these rooms?
Living rooms.
I've not been in any of these rooms.
Beaches by, you know, beach fires, fireplaces, classrooms, church rooms, just all these rooms.
What if for the next hour you just continued to name rooms?
Yes. Well, let's see. There's the changing room. There's the,
oh, no, she's going to do it.
I've played in hallways, stairwells, bathrooms.
Are you saying, are you to get a sound or were you busking? Is that what they call it? You weren't throwing the hat down. You were trying to get a sound.
No, it was a movement that was afoot in the late 60s and the earlier 70s and through the 70s and on through the 80s where friends and family and aunts and uncles and beach houses and, you know, beach fires and rooms, all kinds of rooms. We'd all sit around and chime in. Mm-hmm. And people could play ukuleles and people were singing old songs, like old vaudeville songs and old Irish pub songs, mm-hmm. off-colored songs. our grandparents taught us a lot of those songs.
How long have you ever gone without picking up the guitar? Do you pick it up every day? How does this work when you're a real musician?
I always feel weird to answer this, but I don't play that much. Mm-hmm. unless somebody's paying me to play. Seriously, I mean...
Well, that's a good problem to have.
I love writing on the guitar mm-hmm. or the piano. When I get inspired to write something, I'll pick up a guitar. I'll have a dream, and I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll record something on my phone with the piano or the guitar. But it's more like a muse to me. Mm-hmm. It's not a chore. So I don't need to practice it.
Yeah.
Because when I come back to it later, if I'm not doing it all the time, like on the road, for instance, you do it every day almost.
Yeah.
You discover something new by not doing it. You learn something new every time. You're kind of away from it for a little while.
Are you always writing songs? Are there songs always being written in your head at all times?
Yeah. Sometimes I have to go, shh. Shut up.
Is there a specific Nancy Wilson composition that you're proud of?
Well, some of the score stuff I really am proud of mm-hmm. because I didn't really know I was a scoring artist until I started trying to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to his credit, my friend Cameron Crowe, that I used to be married to, gave me that first job to do that.
Well, he figured, why should I hire someone else? I got music right here at the house.
Well, yeah, people say, how'd you get that job? It's like, oh, I slept with the director. But yeah, the old Hollywood style thing. But yeah, it was really a cool assignment for me. And I love assignments. I like to give myself assignments, you know, like right now I'm working on ideas for a series about the... studio called Muscle Shoals.
Oh, wow.
Down in Very Southern cool. Alabama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like When a Man Loves a Woman and Aretha.
Yeah,
all
those
kinds
classics.
Of amazing classics came from there. And yeah, we're about to get a green light and we're going to go on that project.
Is this going to be similar to the Dave Grohl series that was Sound City? Only it's going to be...
That was really a cool
that
project.
That was really cool, yeah.
This is like a series, like a drama.
Oh, so it's not like a... It's not like a documentary. It's
playing the part of the characters of Rick Hall, the producer.
Okay, that's very cool.
The town of Muscle Shoals.
All right, that's great.
And all of the kind of the dynamic of the black-white era of the day.
Very nice.
And how the music kind of brought it all together.
I'm going to play one more Road Case Royale song. Then we're going to hear some heart songs that Nancy sings.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's hear, I love this song, The Dragon.
Jimmy builds a fire.
Hey, that's you.
On a block of ice. Jimmy's turning left, but the world is turning right.
Lane Staley.
You wrote this for Lane Staley?
Right.
Oh, that's nice.
Way a long time ago, before he was still
down
around.
Around the painted parlor. Out behind the old arcade.
Down the dark ladder.
Searching for the rushing on Egyptian river, anywhere the current takes. Dirty old river down where the dragon waits. Don't you go down, Jimmy, Jimmy, where the dragon waits.
I mean, that's a hard rock song. That's
that has a Seattle sound.
Yeah, it does have a Seattle sound. And you and Ann were close with guys like Lane and Chris Cornell,
Chris,
who inducted you into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He did. He sure did.
Yeah. Mike Inez plays on Jupiter's Darling.
Yeah, Inez was in Heart for years.
He's great.
5 years, maybe.
He's so great.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of his hair. That Mike Inez hair.
Michael Inez. Yep.
I'm going to jump around again. This is like a question I always wanted to ask you. When Heart got back together after a hiatus to do Jupiter's Darling.
Right.
Why wasn't Howard involved in that? Because he was there the whole time.
He was there for the first 5 years.
Yeah.
And then... everybody sort of disbanded mm-hmm. because I was trying to start my family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It took a while. And
but he was there up until, you know, Desire Walks On, which was your last studio album before the break.
Right.
So when you come back.
Yeah, he's such a great player. Always a good mm-hmm. band member.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of, when the 80s rolled around, mm-hmm. we were sort of ready to change it up, switch yeah. it up. And there were too many relationships inside of the band. And Howard, you know, wisely was not part of any of that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, among the, he was the flag in the wind between the girls and the guys and all the drama.
Right.
You know, that kind of in a Fleetwood Mac sort of way was going on in our band.
Because I just thought since he was there for the 70s and he was there for the 80s, I just felt like, I mean, as an outsider, yeah. I thought, oh, he must be almost like a brother to Ann and Nancy. That's the feeling I got.
Well, he was the closest, yeah,
okay.
of the brotherhood with us.
But and maybe when you went when it was time to regroup.
There was time for other things to happen okay. besides Hart for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went out with Ann for a little bit
yeah.
on her solo stuff that she was trying to do. You know, there was no real good plan, you know, at the time
yeah.
because Hart was hard to define without Nancy in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not supposed to feel guilty that I took my sabbatical from Hart.
No.
In order to start my family. But, you know, I feel like I've sort of, it was a punishing time. Let's just put it that way.
So really just Howard's not there because when you guys regrouped to do Jupiter's Darling, you just wanted to get a clean slate.
Well, I'd been trying to get songs going mm-hmm. again. When I was trying to come back into it, cause I was in LA cause Cameron's work was in LA.
Right.
You know, I was no longer, hooked up to the Hart family.
Machine. Yeah.
And, I started working with Craig Bartok, who then became the guitar player
right.
in Hart.
Gotcha.
And, so we started writing together because I was just anxious to get some creative stuff going. And so Craig and I basically wrote and produced the Jupiter's Darling album together and pulled Ann in and,
yeah.
you know, got that done. There were some pretty cool songs on that.
It's a killer. I think that's a fantastic album.
Too many cool songs.
Well, you know, I always think when a band has an extended hiatus between recording studio albums, then they come back and they just throw it all in there.
Yeah.
So
that was a really good, fun project. And, you know, the late, great Paul Allen was a really great support system for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the next and the following stuff we did after. And we kind of did a exchange with him to be able to record in some of his spots in exchange for a live Hart performance at his museum in Seattle.
That's a good trade-off.
Really good trade.
That's good for the fans. That's
really
good for
good
everyone.
Trade. And I wasn't supposed to say that, but, you know, nobody's looking now.
Well, let's jump to, I'm going to jump to Jupiter's Darling because I started talking about it. This is a song called Things. It's a fun one.
Things ain't what they used to be. Now I believe in all extremes. Things ain't what they used to be. And that won't change till we're 103. Yeah. Let's never try to solve the big equation of you plus me.
That's a great sounding record.
I haven't heard. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, well, we worked really hard on that one.
You were going to say you haven't heard that in a while.
Comeback. Yeah, I haven't heard that in an age.
Because you probably don't put on your own music and listen to it around the house, right?
No, I don't listen to my own work or look at pictures of myself if I don't have to. Although, you know, I'm running the fan club at this point, so I have to. But.
Let's jump to the first. I believe this is the first song you ever sang on a Hart album. It's from Little Queen, 1977. The song is called Treat Me Well.
Oh, wow.
When was the last time you heard this, do you think?
That was on Little Queen. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's
yeah.
what I got.
Yeah, I wrote that in high school.
Let's hear it.
Well, I have lost some time, but I have won. And if you make it through, you know you've just begun.
Beautiful.
That was a room-tested song way before it was ever recorded on that album.
You played that around a lot before. Before you.
Lots of rooms.
There's also you have some great instrumentals too that you like Silver Wheels on the on Dog and Butterfly on the remastered expanded edition. There's a little 50-second instrumental called A Little Bit. So let's hear a little, a lot of that, a lot of the little bit.
You've done your homework.
Of course. The expanded Dog and Butterfly.
Dog and Butterfly album. Yeah. Oh, yes.
I don't know when that was recorded or anything, but that's where it was.
At the time when they were going to put that out. I think I did it then.
And then let's hear a little bit of Silver Wheels also. This is from Baby LaStrange.
Oh, yeah, this is the other Silver Wheels.
There's two?
Yeah. Because the first one was the intro to Crazy on You.
Okay.
On, Dreamboat Annie. And this is Silver Wheels 2. Classical. A little classical.
Yes, very, very classical sounding.
You know, I have to pretend I'm David Gilmour, so I can feel that cool.
Maybe David Gilmour is pretending he's Nancy Wilson. Who are some? Do you have a number one like guitar hero that you look to?
Well, probably David Gilmour.
It is David Gilmour. Okay.
Yeah, because he writes them, he sings them, he plays every style and every amazing sound that anyone can get on a guitar. So the versatility of his playing and his musicianship is just beyond.
Yeah, and he does do it all. Like you said, he writes it and sings it.
Yeah.
Like some guys, you know, like Jimmy Page plays it and writes it, but he doesn't sing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's the consummate musician in my mind, in my estimation. Me and Jeff, my husband Jeff, we just cannot stop watching the David Gilmour's show from, I think it was 2006 maybe, at the Royal Albert Hall, the live show.
I haven't seen that one. You recommend it. Your eyes are getting so wide right now.
I know. It's just like we it's a go-to. Like we try to watch the news and we get all freaked out about the news.
Yeah, no one wants to watch
and then
news.
We have to watch David Gilmour just to cleanse the palate. You know? It's the sorbet. It's the musical sorbet.
Almost anything would cleanse the palate from the news, but David Gilmour is a good way to go.
The best go-to you can ever go to.
Here's another track from Baby LaStrange. Where did that title come from, Baby LaStrange?
Well, me and Sue Ennis, our great friend and longtime songwriter, collaborator, and Anne, like we're three dirty shirts together. we would go to the Pacific Ocean to a beach house all the time and write songs together. And driving there one time, we saw that there was a little dive bar called Jack Lestrange, and was like, what is that? You know, like, it just piqued our fantasy.
Yeah.
And so we said, well, if we change the gender, which we often do as songwriters, Baby Lestrange would be a cool, just interesting image.
That does sound cool.
Image. When you change the gender, you know, you can't always just sing as a songwriter. You don't want to always sing from a girl's perspective.
Right.
You want to sing as a human's perspective, male or female, so genderless perspective. And for instance, when we recorded that song that Mutt Lange wrote, All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You,
yes,
which was our biggest global hit of all time, when we changed the gender to the female perspective of the woman who picks up a strange guy in a car and takes him to a hotel and all that, it was banned in Ireland.
It's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy.
It's just that perspective.
God, who knows if that was released now, it might be banned in Ireland. Who knows?
Well, it would be banned in, I don't know, Alabama.
You don't want to be played in Alabama.
No, I'm working on the Muscle Shoals show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do want to be played in Alabama.
I'm very familiar. Fond of Alabama.
Here's another song from Baby Lestrange that Nancy sings. This is Raised on You. Touch on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction for a little bit. Chris Cornell inducted you. That's mm-hmm. amazing. I loved that you guys played with your original band members.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people don't.
It was challenging.
I'm sure it was. But for fans, it makes them feel good when that happens. Like Fogerty wouldn't play with CCR. Debbie Harry notoriously, even from stage, they ask her if they could play, and she said, no, I have a band. I mean, it was like, it gets crazy. So, you know, Cheap Trick played with Bunny. So, I mean...
Well, you know, if you're in rock and roll, mm-hmm. the prerequisite is almost that you're emotionally stunted to begin with. So you're not going to be a grown-up about stuff like the drama from the past and stuff like that. But in the case of our band and our original members of the band who started Heart before Anne was in Heart, or me, we felt that we owed them some respect and some acknowledgement for the years that they put in and the energy that they continue to put in to their own version of Heart that they have out there.
Sure.
So. I don't know. I think it was sort of adult of us to actually
swallow the
pride and do it.
And the looks on their faces, they seemed thrilled that they were there. So that was kind of cool.
It was really momentous for those guys, and they deserved it. They deserved the credit and, you know, the attention that they got for that.
And they were, you know, that's the classic. That's what people like to say, the classic lineup.
The first lineup.
Yeah.
Well, the first impression is always the biggest.
Yeah.
And, you know, our very first album together was a huge hit.
Dreamboat Annie.
Yes.
Platinum.
Yes.
That's crazy.
We have plaques.
You know? I know, but that's crazy. Like, how do you, when you're that young, how do you even comprehend that? Like, we released our first, do you think, oh, that must be how it is for everyone? Or do you really think, oh, no, this is something special. This doesn't happen to everyone.
You know, it's weird because from the very, very beginning when I got into the band, because me and Ann were just so, both of us so impossibly optimistic, and also Marine Corps brats. So
it's not a bad thing to be optimistic, though.
Dogged, you know, in the work ethic about all doing it all and getting it accomplished and pushing ahead and doing all the work and get it going to every single radio station and talking to every DJ, every program director, and go back in the car, and then the payola happens after we're not in the room, and all that kind of stuff happened, and we were so ready to do it all.
And it's part of the job. I mean, it is part of the job at that early.
There was
that early...
no overnight success no. about it. So no. we did the homework, we did the traveling, we did the hard work, and in the day when we started too, there were people in record companies that would provide the income to help bands like Heart become proficient.
Yeah.
They would fund it, and then they'd, you know, take it out of your hide later, but, you know, they'd helped you to get a start and put you out there. And so, you know, we were lucky at the timing of when there was kind of a record industry then.
Yeah, it's so different now.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, there people would develop acts and help them get out there and develop them. So I never thought that we were not going to make it. I just never thought that. And that's pretty idiotic when you think of it. But I was like, I know I'm good. I know Anne's good.
Yeah.
I know that we're good. There's no stopping us.
That's great. That's a good way to look at it.
I guess.
And it paid off. It worked.
You're trying to look at it like that.
It worked. You tricked us.
Yeah.
I want to also, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who decides who gets in? Because you sold the most albums in the 80s.
For
and
sure.
That was with Denny. Is it Carmazzi? Is that how you say it?
Carmazzi.
And Mark Andes.
Mark Andes.
But they weren't inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Well, how does that work?
The first wave of Heart was in the 70s, and that was huge success.
Yes.
But then we kind of...
Not discounting the 70s at all.
We had a little dip there, you know, in our career. And then when we kind of came back to the roaring 80s, you know, and we kind of got managed, new manager, new record company, new, you know, everything, new hair, new clothes, stylists, videos, all of it.
Forced some songwriters on you too, right?
Songwriters, yeah.
Was Ron Nevison, did you get to choose him, or did they just say, this is who's going to produce?
A lot of it was kind of foisted on us. Mm-hmm. Like bands like Aerosmith, bands like Heart, everyone had to do the LA Stable songwriters.
Yeah. Cheap Trick, too.
Hits, yeah. Cheap Trick, everybody.
Everybody.
Was doing that because it was the necessity to get yourself out there and make big videos and have huge success and huge stadium tours.
And it worked, too. It really did work.
It worked.
Yeah.
It was the style. It was the fashion of the day. And we survived it, and we got more popular in the 80s, made more money in the 80s than we'd ever made, which was kind of, artistically speaking, was a little uncomfortable for us. Although songs like These Dreams and songs like Alone. And What About Love still live.
Yeah, those are great.
Really,
those are just like, well, like you said earlier, a great song is a great song. I want to talk now. The last album that you made for Epic or Columbia was Passion Works.
Right.
I really like that. I love that album so much.
Oh, cool.
I really do love it. How Can I Refuse? Allies.
Yeah,
and I love this song. I love this Love Mistake.
Well, thank you.
This is your song.
Yeah.
I want to play a little bit of this.
Thank you. It's bad production, but thanks.
Keith Olsen, right?
We were feeling out of place. Really cool guy.
Yeah.
So we made our own escape in that New York cafe place to
be. Stuff sounds good with your compression on it.
Yeah, it doesn't. It sounds I like
really
it.
Travelers, you and me.
Totally sounds to me
through your system.
We were laughing about it. Kept us out of reach.
I wrote this for my friend Kelly Curtis.
I won't forget that light. I won't forget that light.
I was going to ask you who the KC was. Kelly Curtis.
Yeah, he still is the. He worked for Heart as a kid, and now he's still Pearl Jam's manager forever.
Oh, wow.
Since
forever. So he's still busy.
Oh, he's really busy.
Yeah.
I barely get to see him anymore, but super best friends, you know, forever. And he was working as our first publicist. He's probably, I don't know, 15 or something. And I met him when he was like 10 and I was 12, you know. And his first act as a publicist for the band Heart was to make a button that said, Nance the brunette, Nancy's the blonde. It was so perfect, you know. It's like, we have to make those buttons again, you know.
Why couldn't it be Ann's the singer and Nancy's the guitarist? Why do they have to be about your hair?
Well, I know. It's just funny.
Yeah.
You know, and then we did the Leave It to Cleavage tour and all that stuff. But
oh, I'm so sorry. You
then
had to
he
do
went
that.
To yeah. Then he fell in love with the wardrobe lady, the wardrobe girl, and then they had there was just a terrible era where everything was just desperate. Dramatic, and they broke up, and he had to leave the band, you know, working for the band. Mm-hmm. And we were in our, you know, early 20s, yeah. Whatever. So that explains that. But, and then he went on to go back to Seattle, and he managed Mookie Blaylock. He managed Pearl Jam when Andy Woods was still in
early
Pearl Jam. And still there with Pearl Jam, so.
With the '80s albums, with Heart and Bad Animals and Brigade, when they would bring outside songwriters in, were you guys probably weren't really happy with it, right?
it was a blow to our artistic integrity.
Yes, yes.
For sure. We'd spent this one day, with Ron Nevison, mm-hmm. producer. Listening to songs on demo songs, and we chose a couple good ones.
Yeah,
that still live today, like we said.
Well, that's good that you got to choose, because I wasn't sure if they were just said, like, no one said you have to record this.
No, do you have an affinity for this song, you know?
Okay.
And there were some we didn't really have affinity mm-hmm. with, but we did it anyway. But at the end of that day, after listening to, God, you know, 1,000 demos, and picking the handful that we thought we might want to try mm-hmm. to record, the last song that he had on a cassette was These Dreams. And it was the demo of These Dreams. And he said, this is obviously not a Heart song, but it's just interesting because the words are cool. Bernie Taupin wrote it with Martin Page. And I was like, oh my God, I need that song. I need to sing that song. And they were like, no, that's not a Heart type of a song at all. And so I said, no, this is my song, and I need to do this song, and I need to record it, and I need to sing it myself. And I just had that instant, like, love affair with the song, because it's ethereal,
yeah.
You know. It's one of my type of songs. And so then the management company, Howard Kaufman at the time, said, no, you cannot sing like a sort of a hit sounding song because it's too confusing if you make the video where Anne's not the singer.
Mm-hmm.
So the Heart fans are going to be confused if you're the singer and Anne's not the singer. So when we did the video, they had Anne singing and me singing. So it was kind of nebulous who's actually singing.
Right.
So as not to confuse the Heart fans. I'm thinking, well, what about Fleetwood Mac? You know, they can have female singers, and what's wrong with that? But it was weird.
I think it broadens everything when you have two people that can sing lead. I mean, it's just...
It makes it a cooler band.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, let's hear. I have the original. So let's listen to a little of These Dreams.
Darkness on the edge, shadows where I stand. I search for the time on a watch with no hands. I want to see you clearly. Come closer than this. But all I remember are the dreams in the mist. These dreams go on when I close my eyes. Every second of the night, I live another life. These dreams that sleep when it's cold outside.
Plus, in the 80s with MTV, maybe in the 70s, people would go, I think, is that Nancy singing that one? Maybe it's not. But
some people still go, yeah. You sang that?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know.
But with MTV, you were like, oh, that's a different person
one?
Singing. Yeah.
Yeah, which one is that?
That's the blonde one.
Yeah. Is it the blonde or the brunette?
You got to sing some cool.
Ann or Nancy.
That's good.
Yeah.
You got to sing a lot of cool songs in the 80s. There's the Girl. I love that song.
Oh, that's a good one.
Stranded from Brigade. I like that.
Yes.
Will You Be There in the morning is great.
Will You Be There? I recorded that once in Espanol and not very well, I gotta say.
Did you sing it phonetically or do you speak
phonetically.
Spanish?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I tried to sing it in Spain at Lombada Day on the weekend. And they were like, boo. It was not a good delivery, gotta say.
I had all those queued up, but I want to jump ahead here. I want to play from the Jerry Maguire soundtrack. This is a theme from Jerry Maguire. This is We Meet Again.
That too, yay. It's just a big me festival.
Well,
today.
That's what it is today, Nancy.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Now, Chip, I promised Chip I would get you out of here in an hour because he said you have a busy day. So I'm gonna I'll wrap up in a couple minutes. Are you okay?
I'll tell you one little story about that.
Please do.
Recording the soundtrack, all the soundtrack stuff, all the score music for Jerry Maguire was just down the road from here. A friend of mine had a house. And a six track,
okay,
reel to reel, and a bunch of good microphones, and no soundproofing at all in the house, and so I recorded it, in his his guest room, with the garbage trucks and dogs barking everywhere, and I went to Costco, I got a little TV that had a VCR
built in, okay,
and that's how I. Put the tapes of the actual dailies with the sound with the striping on, with the time code. And I would count myself in and play to the tape.
So you're watching the dailies from Jerry Maguire on this little TV, yeah. and you're writing the music. That's amazing.
Yeah, really lo-fi, way lo-fi, and really I love how it turned out.
Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was okay. These people seemed to like it.
Very romantic.
I love that movie.
People were like proposing to each other in theaters and shit. It was like great.
Yeah. You had me at hello was probably right. Said more often yes. than And what was the what were the other thing that would be quoted was the little kid would tell you how much the human head weighs. What's his name? Jonathan Lipnicki.
Yes,
that's his name.
You know that.
Wonder
name.
How old he wow. is. Wonder how old he is now.
Wow, I wonder what he's up to
he's
these
probably
days.
In his 30s or something.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise's best comedic performance.
Tom Cruise is funny. They don't let him
really
do.
He's really funny
yeah.
in that movie.
Yep.
And like the whole show me the money scene and. I love black people. You know, it's really good.
boy, what else am I going to... Well, we're gonna close out with Road Case Royale. I do want to play something from Live at McCabe's Guitar Shop. I'm so bummed. I lived out here. I just moved out here when this show happened. If I had known about the show, I would have been there. But it lives on the...
Very underground.
Very underground. You should do... Did you ever think about doing anything like that again?
Yeah. I mean, I could do that.
Pop in there with your guitar.
By myself at my son's graduation party.
But the public can't go to that, though, can they?
No, it was no. A school event.
I'm talking about Nancy Wilson, acoustic guitar, small venue.
Well, you know, if the rock job falls through, I've always got the acoustic guitar.
I'm just asking you to do this just for me.
Okay. But if you pay me, I'll do it.
A house party.
Yeah, okay. All right. Corporate. Hey.
So I got three songs from this one. Do you want to hear your version of solo version of Even It Up or In Your Eyes, the Peter Gabriel song, or a little of Kathy's song, Paul Simon?
Kathy's song.
All right. Because you had said about Paul Simon earlier, so I knew you were going to pick
I
this.
Played Kathy's song at the graduation.
Oh.
Like a memory. Soft and warm, continuing.
Who could write that?
Tapping on my roof
Hello.
And wall.
And at such a young age when you wrote a lot of these songs. So
yeah.
young.
And
yeah.
from the shelter of my mind. Through the
I always think of the Sound of Silence. Like, how does someone that young yeah. have those words? In your head. He must be an old soul.
Yeah, I'm sure that he is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's in the 50s.
Yeah.
Before the 60s.
That's so true. We forget about that.
Yeah. And him and Garfunkel, you know, they had a duo and...
Tom and Jerry.
Doo-wop.
I think they're called
stuff.
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, that's right.
Yeah.
So they were out of the doo-wop thing and they had the street soul going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York.
I have tons of other songs, but we're going to go right back to Road Case Royale. I do want to say that apologies to Red Velvet Car. That's a great album. Fanatic's a great album. Beautiful Broken. I loved how you guys revisited some of the old songs.
Right.
And then the Beautiful Broken, which James Hetfield is on that version.
I know.
Another killer song.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard Beautiful Broken, that's going to
that
rock.
Album turned out really, really
yeah,
cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, some of the songs that I felt got lost in translation as far as production and stuff. We got Real Strings. Paul Buckmaster was involved. You know, he did all the Elton John stuff.
Yes.
And it was just a dream come true. It was not the most lucrative thing to do.
Right, right.
But just for the love, it was the best thing to do.
And it's out there and people can get it. Right. All this music, people, go get this. Go to iTunes. Go wherever you need to go. Even Live at McCabe's, I'm pretty sure that's on iTunes too. So
probably is.
Go get it.
It's hard to get, but
it's hard to get physically, but yeah, digitally you can get it.
You can stream stuff now.
And that's right.
We like streaming now. We forgot we liked it.
But now you do.
We do like streaming.
Road Case Royale, the album is called First Things First. Let's hear a little bit of this song called Insaniac.
On the way, crazy wind singing the rain, mold me down, down, down. You can hit me all you want, Insaniac. Never knock me down, Insaniac. Never gonna hit you back, Insaniac, Insaniac. All this crying gonna make me drown.
Now, if you live in the Los Angeles area, I want to let people know that December 6th, 7th, and 8th, we have Nancy Wilson shows. Canyon Club in Agoura Hills on the 6th, Canyon Club in Santa Clarita on the 7th, and on the 8th, Irvine Beach in Laguna Beach.
Cool. For a Christmas thing.
That's a Christmas thing?
It's Christmas, like a radio station Christmas show thing. A
couple weeks before Christmas, but yeah, yeah. That works.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a fun question.
The right Christmas song, I guess.
I was thinking about this today. The Queen movie's out, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that on the way here.
Did you see it?
She did.
Did you love it?
Julia saw it.
Yeah, I liked it too. There's some timeline mistakes for me, who's a musical
I can't wait to see
crazy
that.
Person. But Rami was amazing as Freddie. So here's my question for you. If they are going to make a heart biopic,
right?
Who plays Nancy Wilson? I have a pick in my head, but I want to hear if you have a pick. Maybe you do.
Well, Amy Adams or...
That's what my wife said today.
Really?
I go, I'm going to ask Nancy this question. And she goes, and she said Amy Adams.
Well, she can move. She can dance. And she can sing.
Well, then I'm going to tell you my pick. And then, Chip, okay. You get to decide who it's going to be. My pick is Scarlett Johansson.
That was my second pick.
Are you kidding?
No,
are you serious?
I'm so jealous of her beauty and her talent.
That's my first pick.
Wow.
But that's so wild that you said Amy Adams. See, now my wife's going to go, see, you got to listen to me more.
Well, Amy's a comedian, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would relate to Amy Adams as a sort of a Anne Margaret comedian, singer, dancer, just energized.
Do you see yourself as a comedian?
Yes.
You do?
I certainly do.
Is she funny? I'm looking over at your team. Is she funny? She is funny? All right, good.
That is the one of the basic survival mechanisms we've all got.
For sure. For sure. We need it now more than ever.
For sure we do. And David Gilmour at the...
David Gilmour.
David Gilmour after the news.
After the news. Let me... thanks to Chip Schutzman of Miles High Productions, who's here right now, for setting this up. Also, Loud and Proud Records for sending us 5 copies of First Things First, which Nancy signed for us. Nancy also signed a copy of The Live at McCabe's and 2 books. So we'll be giving
Kicking
a lot of stuff away. Yes, Kicking and Dreaming. That's a great book. I have tons of rock bios, and sometimes I spot read them, like I'll turn to play. But I read this book front to back. It was really a great read.
It's good.
And I love how it was told and everything.
Yeah.
And I love your dad's nickname, Dotes.
Dotes, yes.
See? I really did.
You are in depth. I love it. Love it.
We are, you can find you on Twitter, 3 places, @ Nancy Wilson, @ Roadcase Royale, and @ Official Heart. And then on the web, it's roadcaseroyale.com or heart and then /music.com.
Right. I'm everywhere.
What's happening? So 2019, after the holidays, after these 3 California shows, what happens in 2019? Do we get another Roadcase Royale album? Are there more show dates? What can we expect from Nancy Wilson in the new year?
Lots of me everywhere.
Comedy tour. Stand-up comedy.
Yeah, stand-up. Acoustic show. Hoping for the heart thing to happen.
Okay.
Can't really say exactly, but it's looking pretty good.
All right. Well, people would like that. People would enjoy that.
I know that.
Yeah.
We have loyal fans, and those are good songs.
Yeah. And I've never been to a heart show and seen empty seats. I got to be honest with you. Everyone, it's jammed.
So, Roadcase Royale and me, we have plenty of more stuff to do. And that's not gonna stop anytime soon.
That's good, because this is a great band.
I would never be able to live without my Roadcase Royale band, because they've, like I said before, they were lifesavers in a really tough time for me. And we have more music to write and more songs to record and more shows to play.
And we look forward to that
wherever we can get them.
Now I'm gonna name 3 songs. You get to pick our playout song for the day.
Oh.
First of all, thank you so much for being here and giving us this time. I really appreciate it. This was so much fun.
Wonderful, Pat.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Chip. And,
and Julia.
Julia.
Yeah, no.
Julia Bywater, come on down.
So here's what I have queued up, and you get to pick. This is the playout song. Never Say Die.
Ooh.
Hold On to My Hand. Or the Road Case Royale version of Even It Up.
Hold On to My Hand.
All right.
That's Liv's favorite song.
All right.
She kills it every time.
Okay, this is for Liv.
Mm-hmm.
Go buy this album and look for Nancy Wilson everywhere in 2019.